Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Even when you're in the valley of despair, he's still good. This is where we miss it, because we say he's good, but then if he puts us, lets us go down into a valley, then he's not so good. Why are you allowing me to do this? Well, there's always the word character. God's always building character in us. And I hope you don't fight God. I hope you allow him to build that character in you, because without that character, you cannot do the mighty works that God needs to have done. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for all these that came out to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that we sit under an open heaven this morning, and that your angelic host is going to and fro throughout these chairs, meeting each and every need. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God, is so prevalent in here this morning. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his blood that he shed so we could be set free. And Father, we just give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, President Trump said guns are not the problem for all the shootings. Instead, we are in a crisis of criminality. And that is so true. Even in the house of God, we are in a crisis of criminality where, you know, God does not prevail anymore in the house of God, but all the evils of the world are actually prevailing in the house of God. And God is trying to get the house of God cleansed, and so that we can go forth as bright lights to shine for him and to save a lost and dying world. I was also, when I was studying the other day, God said the church is not ready for what is coming. They have no idea of the importance of what is coming in the world. And because of this, the majority of the church is not going to be able to prevail, because they don't understand what's going on around about them, and they're going to run to and fro, and they're going to become very frantic. And then they're going to start believing the lie. So, church, I hope that you're not one of those. I hope you understand how very important it is in this given hour that we walk really super close to the cross, and that we don't give in to any temptations that come our way. I had a dream the other morning, excuse me, where me and an army were fighting. It just wasn't me. It was an army of people fighting. And we were fighting another army, and it was demonic, tell by the faces, but we fought and we fought and we fought, and we were getting tired, and the enemy thought he had us in a corner, and he lunged at us one last time, but we won. We won. We just got the total victory. And I woke up from that knowing that God was telling me that we are on the winning side, and we've already won the battle. It doesn't matter if the enemy does think he has you in a corner and now he can give you the last thrust. He can't, because you've already won. All right. I also read where September the 29th begins Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, 5780. And the beginning of this new year starts a 10-year cycle. So September the 29th, when a new year starts, it starts a 10-year cycle. So whatever God is doing starts then, it's going to go on for 10 years. And I'm excited because God spoke to me the other day and said, December, the fires will break out like never before. So God's glory is going to break out in December like never before. And that's going to last for at least 10 years of nothing but his total complete glory and doing mighty things through his people. I don't know why you would ever want to serve the devil, because he has given you nothing but heartache and pain. But Jesus gives us all things. You know, when you study things and you keep going, you read the scriptures and cross references that and the other, you find out so many powerful things in the Word of God that nobody really ever talks about. And this is why God wants us to read the scriptures to show ourselves approved. You need to dig into the scriptures yourself and see what God is saying through the scriptures. And if you would really dig into the scriptures yourself and understand what they're saying to you, then the enemy wouldn't be able to come and deceive you, would he? He wouldn't, would he? because you know the truth, and it's a truth that sets you free. This morning, God wants to talk to us about where is your peace? I'm hearing God say the church has been gravitating towards darkness for over a decade now. And the church has not been watchful, and some have lost their very soul in these past 10 years because they gravitated toward the darkness and not toward the light. I want each one of you in here this morning, I want you to take your light to a dark, dark world and break up that darkness and let God's light shine forth and set the captives free. During praise and worship, you know, God spoke to me and said the reason why they don't change through praise and worship is because they operate out of hype. You get yourself all worked up trying to praise God, and when it's all said and done, nothing has changed. I wouldn't do that if I was you. I just really would not hype myself up and be shouting and carrying on unless the Holy Spirit's caused you to do that. Because then you receive absolutely nothing from the praise and worship. Nothing. God is not a person of hype. He is a person of the Spirit. And He wants the Spirit to move in you and you and through you. All right. All right, let's talk about where is your peace. Through God's peace, you can live free of anxiety, depression, fear, poverty, lack, and sickness. You can live in contentment, joy, security, rest, and wholeness. In fact, Jesus died to give it to you, and He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives you do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." See, Jesus gave us His peace. Not the peace that the world speaks of, but His peace. That's why the peace you have through Him is worth fighting for. Let's just stop there. So many people profess to have peace, but as you watch them walk through this world, you can see they really don't have peace because they are troubled on every side. Everything that comes down the pike troubles them. And when trouble does come and visit you, instead of you giving it to God, you put your 2 cents into it, and then you get more aggravated, and you don't have any peace. But yet you're around saying, "I have peace, I have peace." I'm telling you, saints, you have not gone deep enough in God. That's why you don't really have the peace of God. Now, I'm not saying this, everybody's not like that. If the shoe fits, put it on. But I'm saying there are in the body of Christ those who say they have peace, but truly do not have peace. You don't have the peace that passes all understanding. Walk around the mirror and watch yourself. And you'll see whether or not you really have true peace. You know, that's how I know if you have peace. I watch what you do. I listen to what you say and watch what you do. And your actions don't line up with what you're saying. All right? So don't, when you see people and they're saying, "I'm walking in peace, I have pure peace," well, then start watching the fruit. Is it really the fruit of peace prevailing? It's very serious that you think about this. All right, God said, "My children, where is your peace? The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace my son said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." Where is that peace? You need to ask yourselves that question, for it is a matter of life and death at this given time. That's what God spoke. It's a matter of life and death at this given time. If you do not abide in everlasting peace, God said, you will not be able to run this race with confidence that you will finish the race. Read that again. If you do not abide in everlasting peace, you will not be able to run this race with confidence that you will finish the race. For the enemy will come with his doubts and unbeliefs and keep you going around that same mountain over and over and over and over again. God said, this is a test of endurance. Yes. But I have equipped you with all that you have need of to endure until the end of the ages. Read that again. This is a test of endurance. Yes. But I have equipped you with all that you have need of to endure until the end of the ages. God said, there is no excuse for not having my peace. For my peace has been abounding around about you for as long as you have been on this earth. I in no wise have taken it from you. In other words, if you've lost your peace, then you are the one that lost it. God didn't take it from you. God said, it is up to you to decide if you abide in this peace or abide in frustration. Who gives you peace? God asked that question. Who gives you peace? He says, I do. Who tries to steal that peace? And God said, the enemy of your soul. God said, since when can the enemy of your soul steal from you? Ask yourself that question. I know you don't trust me fully and completely, but it is time you start. In fact, it is way past time. See, if you don't have peace, then you are not trusting God. If you're really trusting God, and no matter what comes down the road, what is bothering you, you will have peace about it. I know a lot of things come down the road recently here, and I get frustrated over it, and I say, God, I'm not going to get frustrated over this. I'm going to give this to you. You knew it was going to be there before it got there. So I'm going to stay in peace, and I'm going to allow you to work this thing out. And when I do that, and I take my hand out of the situation, he starts giving me directions on what my part is to play in the situation. But I have to tell him, I'm taking my hands out of this, and this thing belongs to you and you only. If not, I would be a nervous wreck. Why do people go into mental hospitals? Because they keep taking the thing themselves. They don't give it to God. And the enemy just works with their mind over time. Ask yourself, what hinders you from receiving this peace or staying in this peace? Ask yourself, what hinders you from receiving this peace or staying in this peace? God said, I have made a way for all of my children to walk in peace. Even when they are in the lion's den or in the burning furnace, my peace will prevail. I have made a way for all of my children to walk in peace. Even when they are in the lion's den or in the burning furnace, my peace will prevail. So, I know a lot of us have been in the lion's den lately, haven't we? Have you had peace in the lion's den? Or did you get all bent out of shape and just cause yourself a lot of problems? You have to start asking yourself these questions. It's very prevalent, guys, that you really truly sit down and start asking yourself questions about why your life is turning out the way it is. Is it because God has directed you there and knows you're strong enough to endure? Or is it because you directed your own self there and you were too weak and could not do what you were supposed to be doing? All right? Let's take a look at some things that cause us to lose our peace. Circumstances will steal your peace. True peace doesn't come from the absence of trouble. It comes from the presence of God. That means you can live in the peace of God even when you have serious trouble, because your peace doesn't have anything to do with circumstances. When you live in that kind of peace, your circumstances will automatically get in line. Now, I want to stop there, and I'm going to give you a testimony. I had over $2,000 in my checking account. I put in another $1,000. And so the next day I went to draw out money to pay my taxes, and they said, you're overdrawn. Where'd that money go? And I said to my daughter, I'm not going to look at it right now. I'm not going to let this thing steal my peace. I had a baptism that we had to perform, and I wanted God to perform miracles in that baptism. And if I'd have got myself all wrapped up in my monies, I still don't know where my monies is at. I have to go Monday and find out, but I stayed in perfect peace. You don't see me up here bald where I pulled my hair out. You know, you have to stay in perfect peace. You know, my money's been messed with for over a year now, and the enemy's just messing again. We'll get it straightened out. But my daughter said, "Aren't you upset?" I said, "No, I refuse to get upset. I just took the paperwork she got from the bank. I laid it upside down on my desk. I said, Monday I'll handle this. But in the meantime, I've got to be about the Father's business." Are you understanding this? God never intended for doubt, worry, or fear to be part of our lives. Along with the torment they bring emotionally, they affect us physically as well. Let me say that again. God never intended for doubt, worry, or fear to be part of our lives. Along with the torment they bring emotionally, they affect us physically as well. Dr. Carolyn Leaf says, worry affects your concentration during the day and your sleep at night and can even make you ill, and that is not God's plan. Or it affects your concentration during the day, you can't do what you're supposed to do. Then at night you can't sleep, and then that eventually makes you sick. All right? Number two, sin will steal your peace. Peace is valuable, so much so that the world will go to extremes to acquire it. They'll pursue money and fame, use drugs, and commit adultery. With all this effort, they found one thing: it doesn't work. That's because you'll never find peace through sin or the world's way. The world has no peace to offer you, none. There is only one way to enjoy true peace, and that is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You know, I watch drug people, and they take drugs, and they take more drugs to combat the other drugs, and it goes on and on and on, but they never get free, and they never have peace. I'm just saying drugs is right now. I'm reading where drugs is really rampant all over the United States, and they're really different states are really concerned about how drugs are consuming their states. All right, the third thing is bad influences, ungodly music, books, TV, or movies. You need to feed and refresh your spirit. Don't stress it with ungodly, violent, or negative entertainment. And Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no base or wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them who turn aside from the right path. It shall not grasp hold of me. And then he said, guard your heart. David said, I will set no base or wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them who turn aside from the right path. It shall not grasp hold of me. David said, the world is not going to consume me. And you have to do the same thing. The world is not going to consume you. All right, number four is negative thoughts will steal your peace. Negative thoughts are powerfully destructive. We need to dwell on what is good. Philippians 4:8 says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Quit thinking about negative things. Yeah, so we do have negative things in our life, but we don't have to concentrate on that negative thing. If we start concentrating on the positive things that God has spoken into our lives, we will win those battles every time. But if we keep thinking about the negative things, we're going to lose the battle every time. You know, what I say to Satan, God said. God said. God said, no matter what's coming my way, God, this is what God told me. All right, God said it's going to happen this way. God's going to say it's going to happen that way. And devil, you can just leave because I'm not going to believe your negative report. And you have to do the very same thing. You just cannot take everything into your spirit that comes in front of you. You have to start rejecting those negative things. All right, let's just take our marriages. The devil doesn't want any marriage to work. He doesn't like marriages. And so he's always going to bring something negative either to the wife or to the husband about the other, trying to make you start a fight or an argument or to believe that you aren't even supposed to be with them. You don't look at that negative stuff. You start thinking about all the good things that that person has done. And then if you really start looking at all the good things that person has done, they will far outweigh the negative things. Believe me, they will. Why don't you try that in your marriage? All right? And another thing you need to understand is you don't know, you know, all right, let's just say your spouse might be committing adultery on you. You don't know, do they really want to do that? Or is there a driving force from the dark side driving them to do that to break up your marriage? Right? And so instead of you thinking about what they're, the negative thing they're doing, you need to take it to God and let God show you what's really going on so you know how to pray to set that person free. All right, so then we read Philippians 4:8 about all the positive things, and then I said, when you live in that kind of peace, your circumstances will automatically get in line. When you start thinking about all the positive things and you live in that kind of peace, your circumstances will automatically get in line. How many of you have children that God has told you they're going to serve him? But right now they're doing just a total opposite. They're serving the devil. You're not supposed to look at what they're doing, the negative thing. You're supposed to remember, say, Satan, God told me my children would serve him, and I'm not going to believe what you're doing to them. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get your hands off of them. They belong to God and not you. And then just keep making sure you keep them covered with the blood. Cover them with the blood. Cover them with the blood. No matter what you're seeing, know that the enemy is after them because of your commitment to God. All right? He's after your children because he couldn't get you to quit. So he's working on them because he knows that, well, especially with a mother, a mother's heart is for her children, right? And he knows that you don't want to see your children hurt. And so he's trying to get you to quit your walk with God so that your children aren't being harassed. I know that because I went through that. And my child, my grandson said, don't quit serving God. I can endure this. I'll go through it. So you see, you have to stay the course. I wasn't going to quit anyhow, but he told me that. You have to stay the course. You have to know that the enemy of your soul is after your offspring. And your job is to make sure you keep them covered so he can't have them. Look at Jesse Duplantis. He was a pistol, wasn't he? And his grandmother said, you little heathen, you will serve God. And, you know, she always called him a little heathen. But he's serving God, isn't he? She said, you will one day serve God. And he said, his testimony is he was sitting in the bathroom and the Holy Spirit come upon him and changed him totally and completely. And he had to go out and finish his concert he had. It was a mess. But he served God because it didn't matter what the grandmother saw. She remembered the promise of God. And she said, you will serve God. And he is. But see, we aren't like that. We say, oh, you're no good now and you'll never be any good and blah, 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 blah. So you speak all that negative things over their lives and push them right into the hands of the enemy. Are you listening here? All right, I said, when you live in that kind of peace in Philippians 4, your circumstances will automatically get in line. And that's why God says he will keep those in trust who trust him in perfect peace. And that's in Isaiah 26:3. It says, God says he will keep those who trust in him in perfect peace. See, if you're not in perfect peace and you're not trusting God, you're trusting yourself. And if you're trusting God, then you're going to be in perfect peace. When we trust in God's plans for us, which are to give us a future and a hope, and you find that in Jeremiah 29:11, we won't entertain every worry, doubt, or fear. We won't even consider these things. We won't entertain worry, doubt, or fear. We won't even consider these thieves. In the body of Christ, I see you consider this, the worry, the doubt, and the unbelief. I see it all the time. You have to stop. You cannot continue down that path and still be blessed by God. Kenneth Hagin once shared his strategy for dealing with fear. He said, you have to deal with fear and doubt the same way you deal with the temptation to commit any other sin. For example, you would never allow the thought of stealing money to remain in your mind for even a moment. You would take that thought captive and cast it out as quickly as you could. We need to treat doubt, fear, and worry the same way as unacceptable thoughts that have no place in our lives. When those thoughts come, say, you're unacceptable. I don't receive those. and make sure that you get them out of your mind. Don't receive them. The more you say, I don't receive them, the harder the devil's going to make it look like that they're worse than what they are. You have to stay your ground, and you will win the battle. All right, don't entertain the triple threat. Don't ever permit yourself to entertain thoughts of doubt, worry, or fear. Throw them out. If you're up in the night worrying and becoming fearful, take those thoughts captive and say, I refuse to doubt God's promises. I refuse to worry. I refuse to fear. I take a stand against them right now in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ and make them go. You pastors in here, you need to start being positive in your own life, and you have to get all the negativity out of your own life, and then you have to feed it to your sheep. Feed them that positive word. Feed them the truth of God's word. And then you live it out, because they're going to watch you. They're going to watch your fruit. They're going to see, are you really living what you're preaching? And God said, if you're not going to live what you're preaching, don't stand behind the pulpit and preach it, because he's going to judge you for it. All right, the fifth thing to keep your peace, that'll steal your peace, is money and material things. Store up heavenly, not earthly treasures. And Matthew 6:19 says, don't save treasures for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rust will destroy them, and thieves can break into your house and steal them. Instead, save your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is. All right? Now, if I was a pastor that counted heads, I'd be in a tizzy most of the time, because we don't have many heads. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't concentrate that. That's not my job. It's God's job to send into the house of God those who he knows will hear the word and receive it and walk in it. My job is to give you the word, and then what you do with the word is up to you. I can't make you live the word. I can't make you do anything that I tell you. What I tell you is what God says. I had somebody write me and tell me, when I'm there, I take notes and I write down the scriptures and I come home and I check them out. And sure enough, you're preaching the truth. And see, and people should be able to do that with your preaching and your teaching. They should be able to check you out and see that you're teaching the truth. All right, this, number six, pride, position, desire for admiration will steal your peace. Don't get caught up in the empty rating system of our fallen world. 1 John 2:15 says, don't love this evil world or the things in it. If you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. This is all there is in the world, wanting to please our sinful selves, wanting the sinful things we see, and being too proud of what we have. But none of these comes from the Father. They come from the world. The world is passing away, and all the things that people want in the world are passing away. But whoever does what God wants will live forever. Isn't that awesome? You're going to live forever. You're just going to go up in a rapture, right? In the meantime, you're going to walk the walk that God has told you to walk. You're going to bear good fruit, and you're going to do the things that God called you for to do. Are you not? You can say amen to that. I'm going to do everything God's called me forth to do, and I'm not going to walk in doubt, unbelief, and worry ever again. All right, the seventh thing is fear of offending people. I used to walk in this. I was always afraid to preach what God told me to preach because I didn't want to offend anybody. I don't care no more. All right, fear of offending people. Be gracious and kind to people, but fear God, not man. Then Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever leans on and trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe and set on high. Trust in God, not in people. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you. If God's given you something to say, say it, and then walk away from it, because God knows what he's going to do with it once it's out in the open. All right? All right, the eighth thing is entitlement. Jesus didn't demand respect, appreciation, and comfort. Neither should we. If you think that you need to be bowed down to and called this and that and the other, then you want entitlement, and that'll steal your peace. Philippians 2 says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. I don't make a good impression on a lot of people, all right? Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others, too, and in what they are doing. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ. who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself, you know, Jesus, even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus didn't even say who he was when he was walking the earth. He said, who do you say that I am? He never told him he was the Son of God. He could have bragged all over the place, couldn't he? But he didn't do that. See, somebody say, well, I'm a bishop. Well, big whoop. You know, I'm an apostle. Who cares? Do you have good fruit? Are you really preaching the word of God the way it's supposed to be preached? Are you really telling the truth? God doesn't like titles anyhow, in case you don't know. He doesn't like titles. So, all right, the ninth thing that will seal your peace is injustice. We must accept hardship as a way of growing our faith. We must accept hardship as a way of growing our faith. This is not a walk in the park, guys. And it's going to get worse. That's why God said the church is not, doesn't even understand what's coming down the road. It's going to get worse. So are you preachers in here, or evangelists, whatever your title is, are you ready for the hard times that are coming along with the good times? You know, God said, even though it's going to be, he told me years ago, there's going to be gross darkness come across the land, but at the same time, his light was going to shine brighter than ever. So even though we're walking in the gross darkness and it's going to get darker, we have to remember that God said our light was going to shine brighter than ever. And we were going to be, our lights is going to be what dispels the darkness. Now you can't walk in doubt, worry and unbelief and have a bright light. You have to let your light shine by trusting God. And God told me years and years ago now, you don't trust me. I said, that's not true. He said, yes, it is. I said, well, why don't I trust you? How do I not trust you? He said, you don't trust people, so you don't trust me. So I had to realign my way of thinking about people and realize that the enemy was working through people, and I should trust them just like God does and let God be in total control no matter what they were doing. All right? John 16:33 says, I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Come on, guys. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world. When I was first born again, I told the pastor that God said that we were going to walk in sorrow. And she said, don't you ever say that. A Christian never walks in sorrows. They never have trials and tribulations. Well, I hate to differ with you, but the Word of God says we are going to, does it not? Jesus just didn't whiz through the world. They were always trying to kill him. It was always coming again, always, the 3 years that he mentioned, always. So why are you any different than Jesus? Why do you think everybody has to agree with you 100%? Why do you think you have to be put up on a pedestal and have everybody come to you and just say, oh, you're so wonderful? If you think that way, there's something wrong with your walk with God's not right. All right? You know, just the story I always tell is when I was on the road doing evangelizing for years, my daughter Teresa would go with me and she'd always sing. And when I would go into place, say, oh, here's Teresa, and grab her and give her a seat in the front and I'd trail along. They never said, oh, here's Pastor Barbara. They never said that. But they always give her all the honor and glory, and I would just come and sit until God was ready to use me. And then whenever they called me up, and it took sometimes, some pastors didn't want me to get up and teach, even though their people invited me. And then they finally say, come on up, do whatever you got to do. That's how they did. And so God moved, and he moved mightily. I remember I was in one church one time, and this prophet was from New York. And that pastor really didn't want me to get up there and preach at all. And so finally he called me up, and so God used me mightily, like he always did. And that woman stood up, and she said, this is a true prophet of God, and you need to quit coming against her. And she said, I never want any of you ever to come against her again. And then in the same night, I told the pastor's son that he was going to go to hell if he didn't change his ways. So, you know, I didn't win anything there, but... God had her stand up and take up for me. I didn't care if they, I thought, God, he's never going to call me up. I'd just like to go home. I'll tell you what else they did. You know, I was supposed to be there at 7, so I was there at 7. 9 o'clock, they appeared at the church. They went out and had dinner. Remember that one, Brother Chris? They went out and had dinner. Then they came back. I didn't leave. I sat there for 2 hours waiting on them to come back. And they left a few people there telling me, they'll be back. That's how they dishonored me. Didn't bother me any because I was God's servant. And God had me go there and do, and you know, and give the message, so I did. Are you understanding this? Come on. You have to die to yourself if you're going to really be a true servant of God. You can't, you really have to die to yourself. I've been through a lot of stuff serving God. And believe me, I'm dead. Come on. Are you dead yet? But then I've been at this 40 years too, so if you haven't been there that long, but you have to die real quick, like, because we have a work to do. Where am I at? 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, that is why we never give up, though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. See what it says? That is why we never give up, though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long, yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. See that? And that was in 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17 in the Living Bible. All right, now number 10, the 10th thing that will take away your peace is worry. Worry is a lack of trust in God. Let's not let it steal our peace. Worry is based on a small view of God. Come on. Worry is based on a small view of God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Let's read that scripture again. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Now, with that money situation, God told me 2 weeks ago, He said, daughter, be careful with your money because you're going to have money problems real soon. You know, I didn't know somebody's going to get into my money and take it all, but He already warned me I was going to have money problems. And so I didn't think about it the other day, but I'm just thinking about it now. And that's probably why I had perfect peace about it at the time. Because He already told me beforehand what was going to happen. And if you're really trusting God, He will always, always, always tell you beforehand what is going to happen. He just does. Always. Are you His child? He's not going to keep you in the dark about anything. He will always, if you have a church, He'll tell you what your people are doing. In your family, He'll tell you what your family's doing. If you're at work, He'll tell you what's going on at work. Are you listening? People around about you, God will start speaking to you about them. When I worked at the college, I went to work one morning and I said that one young lady that worked with me, I said, God told me not to tell you not to sell your house. That the man you're with is going to leave you when you do. Oh, she got upset with me. I didn't know she was planning on selling her house. Her house was given to her by her parents, all right? So it was free and clear. I didn't know she was going to sell her house, and I didn't know she was going to, her boyfriend was asking her to do that, and they bought another house. And she said, you just stick your nose in your business and leave my business alone. Well, she sold her house. She bought this other house. The minute they moved in, her boyfriend left her for another woman. There she was. With this big house payment that she really couldn't afford. Now, I didn't know how she worked things out, but she was still in that house when I retired. But if she was just taking God's advice, you know, and I didn't know she was going to do this. But God did, and he knew where it was taking her to, and she could have saved herself a lot of heartache. So what I'm saying is God will tell you about the people you're working with. He'll tell you things about what's going on so you can warn them so they don't do the things they're going to do. All right? I worked with another young lady who, I didn't know it, but her husband beat her every day, and I never knew that. She never spoke about it. And one day God told me, he says, you tell her she needs to leave her husband now because he's going to try to kill her. And so I said to her, when she come into work, I said, well, this is why God spoke to me. They thought I was crazy. Anyhow, this God's big and stuff, you know. And she said, I'll do that. She left him, and he really tried to kill her even after she left. He did all kind of things to her. Finally got it straightened out. But see, if God wouldn't have spoken that to me, and I wouldn't have spoken it to her, I'd been too afraid to speak it to her, then she would have been killed. All right? Because he tried to shoot her. Came to the workplace, cut her tires, and tried to shoot her. So, you have to be walking really close to God so that God can talk to you about the people around about you even, and even to you about yourself, so you know exactly what's going on. All right, the 11th thing that will steal your peace is self-focus. Let's esteem God in the end. This brings us the most fulfillment, peace, and confidence. In other words, God, always look to God and not to yourself. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So have you done that? Verse 25, Jesus says, for anyone who keeps his life for himself shall lose it, and anyone who loses his life for me shall find it again. What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared with the value of eternal life? Jesus said, for I, the Son of Mankind, shall come with my angels in the glory of my Father and judge each person according to his deeds. And some of you standing right here now will certainly live to see me coming in my kingdom. Don't profess to be a follower of Christ if you haven't died to yourself. If you haven't died to all your emotions, I don't mean we don't walk around dead, but you can't carry your heart on your sleeve. You can't do that. You have to be able to take the blows and keep on walking. And if you're a person always wanting to be vindicated, then you're not a true disciple of God. You're just not, according to his word. And God says in his word, he will vindicate you. And every time I needed to be vindicated, I've never said a word, but God's always used somebody else to vindicate me. Are you understanding this? Let them say what they will. Let them lie about you. You go on and you do what God's telling you to do. God's always telling me, don't look at their faces. I have your back. I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you're a true disciple of God, then you're going to believe God and you're going to die to yourself and you're going to go forward and do what God's calling you forth to do. All right? Peace comes from enjoying every good thing. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken or to be whole. That kind of peace has always been God's plan for his covenant-keeping people. No promise missing, no part of it broken. Come on. If you're Jewish, you know that. I never knew what shalom meant until Sister Elizabeth explained it to us one time. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, or to be whole. That kind of peace has always been God's plan for his covenant-keeping people. No promise missing, no part of it broken. If has God promised you something, you're going to get it. All right? Psalm 29:11 says, he blesses his people with peace. He doesn't bless you with frustration and worry and doubt and all that kind of stuff. God told me one time, daughter, if you don't get rid of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to take your candlestick. And I didn't realize I was walking in doubt and unbelief, but God sure did. And I really quickly got rid of doubt and unbelief because I knew he meant business. What about you? Is he going to remove your candlestick, your witness, your light? Is he going to remove yours because you refuse to give up doubt and unbelief, worry and frustration? Ask yourselves this question this morning. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You know, it says there you have to trust God and to stay in perfect peace. All right, the 12th thing is lack of love. Peace is built upon love and joy. You are not going to have peace in your life without that foundation of love. Love never fails, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8. Why is it so important to walk in love? Because someone will steal your peace if you don't. Strife is the enemy of peace. Unforgiveness is venom to a contented life. All right, what is the antidote for all that? Walking in love. Jesus said in John 13:34, "Love one another just as I have loved you." That's a powerful love, and you don't see much of that in the body of Christ. I'll love you if you do right by me. I'll love you if I want to today, right? But Jesus said, "Love one another just as I have loved you." That's powerful love. One that forgives even the worst sin. One that shows mercy and grace even when we don't deserve it. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. When you were born again, these fruit were put inside you, but you have to make the decision to grow them and let them out. You make that decision whether or not what kind of fruit comes out of you. You do. You do. I can't make it happen. You have to make it happen. Walking in love is a decision. It's a decision that will bring you great peace. You decide. You need to decide right now today. I don't care what anybody does to me, God. It doesn't matter. I'm going to stay in perfect peace. I'm going to walk that love walk. My foundation is on the solid rock of love, and I'm not going to be moved. And believe me, if you say that to God, you're going to be tested and tried to the very limit. I won't even go into all the things I've had to endure and still love the people that did those things to me. I had to stay in a love walk. Your heart has to be open to be hurt over and over and over again as a true child of God. And when I first got saved, I had a wall built around my heart, but God tore it down and said, "You can't have a wall around your heart. Your heart has to be open to be hurt." So what are you guys doing with your hearts? Are they open to be hurt? You know, you don't ask for the hurt, but it's going to come. And what are you going to do when it comes? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. You know, my first husband, he ran on me all the time. And when I got born again, when I found out he was going to go to heaven, if he repented, I was upset. And it took the pastor 2 months to convince me that wasn't right. And so when he would do something wrong, I'd say, "Lord, forgive him, because he really doesn't know what he's doing." He didn't. And then one day God said, "Don't ever pray that prayer again for him, because he does know what he's doing. And he's taken himself down that path." Amen. So, you know, God will speak to you. God will tell you what to pray and what not to pray. If you're his child, if you're submitted to him 100%, he will lead, guide, and direct you according to what he says in his word. All right, when you start operating in these truths, expecting every promise, refusing to worry or fear, and walking in love, you will take back your peace and keep it for good. Peace is a right Jesus died to give you. You can live the life most people only dream of. The thief has been found. Now go get back your peace. Now God said, "You have heard my word now. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to do what you need to do to restore or acquire your peace? Or are you going to stay in that state of blindness that is causing you to miss all my blessings that I have for you?" Now, God's going to do something with this. So listen to what he said. Let's read that again. God said, "You have heard my word now. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to do what you need to do to restore or acquire your peace? Or are you going to stay in that state of blindness that is causing you to miss all my blessings that I have for you?" God said, children, the peace that passes all understanding is available to you this morning. You choose to abide in it or stay in your state of confusion. Pastors, evangelists, whatever your title is, you need to get into this perfect peace of God. You need to submit yourself to God 100% from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You have to endure all the hardships that come your way at this end times that we are in, because you are going to be fought by the enemy tooth and nail. He does not want you to stand your ground. He does not want you to be a witness to this lost and dying world that's coming into the house of God. And believe me, they're going to come in by groves. And are you going to be able to witness to them living what you speak? If not, God said he'll remove your mantles. He'll take away your giftings. You won't have them. All right? Well, I shouldn't have put it that way, because the word said he never takes the gift. But you can still keep your gift, but God will take your mantle. And if you don't have your mantle, you can work in the gifts. But if you work in the gifts, then you're working in them through the enemy. All right? Where am I at here? Children, the peace that passes all understanding is available to you this morning. You choose to abide in it or stay in your state of confusion. I am here to restore to you the peace that passes all understanding that the enemy has stolen. Are you ready to receive? And I know about 3/4 of you in here this morning that the thief has come and stolen your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And I know for a fact that some of you don't walk in the true unadulterated peace that God has given you. You walk in a natural peace. And God wants you to walk in the spirit realm, peace. It's that peace. All right, so what if somebody walked in here right now and had a machine gun and said, you either deny Christ or die? How many of you would deny Christ because you don't want to die? What? Why not die? You'd be out of all the mess we're headed into, right? And if you're Christ and you die, you're going to go to heaven anyhow. And if you deny Christ, you're going to hell to be tormented forever. I've been in hell 3 times. God took me down there because he had to teach me a lesson 3 different times. And it's not nice. It's not nice at all. And I don't want anybody to go to hell. I really don't. And that's why he took me there, because I said, I don't care if they go to hell or not. That was my attitude. And then God took me to hell to let me see what they were going to go through. And there's no way I'd want anybody to suffer like that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No matter what they've done to God, to the world, to me, to you, nobody deserves to suffer like that. All right? So God said, I am here to restore to you the peace that passes all understanding that the enemy has stolen. Are you ready to receive? Body of Christ, you have to understand that you're walking on really thin ground right now, that you could lose your mantles just like that, because God has a works to do, and it's a mighty works that he needs to have done. He can't use wishy-washy people. He can't use people that are gonna fall every time somebody doesn't look at you just right. He can't use you that way. You have to be strong in the Lord. You have to know where you stand. And it doesn't matter if your best friend doesn't do what's right. You still have to, you might get upset with them, but you still have to keep on moving, because don't let them pull you down with them.